Track 6. This is Brian Gall back here at the Sports Desk to bring you the latest news this week, starting as usual with the local results and topics. By Saturday evening, I was wondering if the Glass Boys, that Stourbridge Football Club, were suffering a relapse. Following last midweek's stuttering goalless draw at home against Michelover Sports, they travelled all the way up north to Cumbria on Saturday to meet Workington and were defeated 3-1. A glance at the league table showed me that Workington are themselves very much interested in qualifying for the end-of-season promotion playoffs, so perhaps losing to them away from home is no great surprise, but it shows that our lads can take nothing for granted. Stourbridge went into this match with a much-changed defence due to injuries, and the game was played on a pitch that must have been borderline unplayable due to rain. Two goals on the brink of half-time gave Workington all the impetus they needed, and thereafter Glass Boys were rarely in the game. I was therefore waiting with some anxiety for the result on Monday evening when Ilkeston visited the Memorial Ground here for the next fixture. Ilkeston are down among the wrong end of the league table and seem certain to be relegated at the end of the season. Therefore, surely a resounding home win for the Glass Boys. But again, it didn't turn out that way, and for much of the match another defeat was on the cards. It had looked to be a goalless first half, despite Stourbridge being on top most of the time, but in injury time, Ilkeston scored a surprise goal. It came from a corner when some slack defending by the home defence gave too much room and a downward header by one of the Ilkeston's forwards found its way into the net via a post. The second half consisted largely of the visitors defending in depth and Stourbridge trying, with increasing desperation, to find a breach. It did not come until the 78th minute when a despairing lunge from behind by an Ilkeston defender felled Archer of Glass Boys and the usually reliable Benbow duly netted the penalty. The scorer of that then turned provider. Benbow neatly cut a ball across the penalty area, which provided space for Luke Rogers to bundle it into the net. Two goals, at last, in 3 minutes, and Stourbridge, now relieved of pressure, quickly added a third. Benbow was involved again, although it was Preston who finally tapped the ball into the net after it rebounded off a post. Three hard-earned points for Glass Boys, which puts them level on points with second-place Nantwich, although behind them on goal difference. Another home match looms this Saturday when Grantham will be the visitors. And while I'm talking about Stourbridge Football Club, why not come along to the Memorial Ground on Sunday, April the 2nd, when a team of Stourbridge legends will meet a similar West Bromwich Albion 11 for charity. It's a family day out. Among the Albion legends already confirmed will be Dele Adebola, Paul Pesci-Solido, Nigel Crashy and Bob Taylor. There'll be fun and games for the kiddies, picnics and all the fun of the fair. Gates open at 1 p.m, match starts at 2. Over 2,000 people attended this event last year. But Saturday proved a better day for Halesowe in town in the same league as Stourbridge. I was saying on last week's report that their only remaining interest this season is managing to cling on in that league, and they did themselves a power of good managing a 1-0 win away at Frickley Athletic. That at least helps to put a bit of daylight between Yelts and the real relegation strugglers. No local rugby at Stourbridge this last weekend. Their league had a day off whilst the last round of matches in the Six Nations took place. Stourbridge Lions, the amateur side who also play at Stourton Park, had the day off as well, no doubt gearing up for this weekend's top of the league clash with Camp Hill. I was looking at the league table for the Midlands 2 West League, and the top three teams have all won their last five matches. The Lions topped the lot with a 4-point advantage over Leek and 7 points over Camp Hill. Both these rivals have still to visit the Lions before the end of the season, Camp Hill this weekend and Leek 2 weeks later. Those unbeaten records are going to be smashed for somebody. The Six Nations tournament itself reached a conclusion on Saturday, with England duly confirmed as champions but denied a second successive Grand Slam when losing to Ireland in Dublin. It's a funny game, rugby. The week before, against Scotland at Twickenham, the entire English team was a well-oiled, free-flowing machine who looked like world beaters. That obviously had a good deal to do with the quality of the opposition, but on Saturday they were ground down by Irish ferocity and the much-vaunted English pack of big forwards were never able to dictate. Ferocity won the day. Ireland seemed to me to want it more. England may have believed too much of their advanced publicity, and we may hear less now about their wanting to organise an extra test match against New Zealand next autumn. Ireland's win was enough to ensure they finished the tournament in second place, while France finished third after an extraordinary climax to their match against Wales in Paris. I cannot recall ever watching a rugby match that involved 20 minutes of injury time at the end, but a scrum the French had won just yards short of the Welsh try line had to be reset and reset as Wales conceded penalty after penalty as the ball was put in, and until finally France scooped the ball up and crashed over the line for the clinching try. That match finished 20 points to 18 in France's favour, while earlier in the day Scotland had put an end to Italy's wretched Six Nations tournament with a 29-0 win at Murrayfield. A few weeks ago we had a call here at the Talking News from a worried Wolves fan, very concerned at how the season was going and wanting to be kept up to date with their results. Well, Mr. Wolves fan, I think you can sleep easy. After a dire run of results, it seems the club have turned a corner, and after scraping a goalless draw away to fellow strugglers Ipswich on 7th March, it's been all blue sky as Wolves have won three on the trot. I mentioned last week that they'd also scraped past bottom of the league Rotherham 1-0, but that was only the appetiser. Since then, they've achieved two really excellent away wins by 2-1 at Brentford, and then, even better on Saturday, 3-1 at Fulham, a side on the fringes of the promotion battle. By the way, if any listeners have a sports topic they'd like us to cover or have any questions to ask, please contact Helen, as that Wolves fan did, and we'll do our best to respond. Wolves' revival mirrors that of the Villa. They endured a long sequence of losses but are now on the up, and they added a 2-0 away win at Wigan on Saturday. Villa are safely in mid-table, but I think too far off the leading sides to have a realistic chance of fighting their way into the promotion playoffs. Moving to more worldwide sports, this weekend sees the start of the 2017 Formula One motor racing season, which begins as usual with the Australian Grand Prix. Formula One has been a benefit for the Mercedes team in recent years, thanks to Rosberg and Hamilton, but the former has retired and Lewis Hamilton is now joined on the starting grid by Valtteri Bottas. During 2 weeks of practice at the Barcelona circuit recently, Mercedes initially looked to be setting the pace, but as the sessions wore on, Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel began to match them stride for stride, and his teammate Kimi Raikkonen was then quickest of all on the very last day of practice. In the usual pre-season jockeying between the leading teams, Lewis Hamilton was quoted as saying that Ferrari looked to be a real threat, but Vettel said the same thing about Mercedes. I guess we won't know until the racing starts, which it will in the small hours of Sunday morning. Since I'm sure you will all be getting up at that ungodly hour on Sunday morning to put your clocks forward to summertime, why not stay up and watch the Grand Prix? Only joking. It's as though the clock's been turned not forward but back a few years in tennis. Federer and Nadal are winning everything. Well, that's a slight exaggeration, but Federer did win the Indian Wells hardcourt tournament in the USA last week, beating compatriot Wawrinka in the final. And of course, Roger won the Australian Open tournament just a few weeks ago, beating Rafa Nadal in the final then. Andy Murray is a spectator in all of this. He departed early on from the Indian Wells tournament, beaten by a qualifier, and is out of the coming Miami event due to an elbow injury. Novak Djokovic is in exactly the same position. Like Murray, he's withdrawn from the Miami event, citing an injury to his elbow. Indian Wells last week was a bit of a disaster for British players. As well as Andy Murray's shock defeat, Dan Evans, Kyle Edmund, and on the ladies' side, Johanna Konta, had all departed by the third round or earlier. Let's hope Miami this coming week will be kinder. Sunday was a gala day at the Monmore Green racetrack, which is home to the Wolverhampton Wolves Speedway team. It was the last chance the club's supporters had to say farewell to long-time favourite Peter Carlson, who was finally hanging up his leathers and retiring from the sport at the advanced age of 47. Carlson, who's Swedish, has raced for the Wolves almost man and boy. He even came out of a previous retirement to return to their colours once before, but he now says that never again means never again. On Sunday, he lined up with the other Wolves riders, past and present, and several other stars of the sport in this country for a final few laps of the track. Teamed up with Freddie Lindgren, another Swede who seems to go on year after year for the club, the pair of them won the meeting, although I imagine the other riders made sure victory was theirs. A large crowd had turned out to see their old favourites in action for the last time. And the next occasion the track at Monmore will be in action will be on Monday coming, when the new league season is due to start. Wolves are entertaining the Poole Pirates for the opening fixture, and I'll be able to bring you a report on that next time. But that's all the sports news this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I look forward to being in the hot seat once more in 7 days' time. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.